Thanks. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, I'm going to switch over to English. We have some English guests, so we want to honor you guys. You're welcome. And for all the other guys that can't speak Afrikaans, so we're going to do Afrikaans next week again, okay? We're just trying to figure out a good way of translating to involve everybody, okay? So we're going to do English still today, and then we're going to go over to Afrikaans. Next week. I think we're in an exciting season, and I'm gonna in a while tell you why we didn't put out chairs this morning and why just things are a little bit different this morning. But before we do, I think it's such a blessing to know that in this time that God is calling us to taste and to see that He's good. Right, he's really inviting us to taste and to see that He's good. I think for a long time in my walk with the Lord, it was okay just to know it. And we're saying it's not okay just to know it. We want to see it, we want to experience it, we want to touch the Lord. And that is why on a Sunday when we gather, we don't want to just have a Sunday service, we want to touch Jesus. So that's why we're calling out that we respond in worship and really touch Him and connect with Him and be one with Him, right? Amen? We really want to be changed. We want to be touched by Him and we want to be changed by Him. Just want to recap quickly what we spoke about last week because we want to build on that this week still. We're just sensing that the Lord is. We're just in a season of transitioning, and in a season of movement, in a season of change, perhaps where we just sense the Lord is calling us out to more of Himself, calling us deeper into Him, to experience more about Him, to know more about Him, to see more about Him, to hunger and to thirst for righteousness. And it's such a beautiful season. Just to recap. Over the last year the Lord started to speak to us about love and obedience, if you can remember. And then He said to us, He wants us to be a people that is sent, apostolic people, live as sent ones. That means that you have an impact where you live, where you work, and that is what we are trusting the Lord for us as a church, to be an impact wherever we work, wherever you live. Not to be so much program driven, but to live out of who we are. In Him. Sometimes I think a big test for us is if it almal gekry. Okay. Niemand is oorgeslaan nie. Jy wil nie oorgeslaan word met donuts hier. So many times I think if we don't have an event to go and do something, we don't do anything, we wait for the event. But whoever you know, the Lord is wanting you to live out of the overflow of who you are. We want to lead out of who we are. So we want to trust the Lord for a culture where we are vulnerable and open for you to be you. Right? Amen? And we come to the Lord as we are and we let Him change us and let Him mold us and take us into whatever He wants us to be. But truly, if we're going to be a church that have an impact, it's going to be you at your workplace, you in your family, you going shopping, wherever you go, you take the kingdom. Amen? So we're trusting. So the Lord is starting speaking us about sent one, and then He started speaking about rebuilding Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a type of the kingdom. And He started to speak about the original message and the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? That he taught the gospel and preached the gospel of the kingdom. He spoke about the cross, but He didn't preach the cross. He spoke about being born again, but He didn't preach being born again. You need the cross for your sins to be forgiven. You need to be born again to get into the kingdom. And then there's a life to be lived in the kingdom for you and me on the earth today, right? So we sense there's just this transition time where God is taking us into more of Himself and calling us into more of who He is. And to really, our prayer over our house is that each one of us will taste and see that He is good, that you will experience the kingdom, that God will almost surprise you what He does through you, okay? And build your faith through that. So may your shadows heal people. May what was seemingly impossible in our minds become possible because we serve an impossible, uncontainable God who is just so much bigger than we are. And we're just saying, all we're saying is, Lord, we don't want to box you in. You be God. We just follow. And we're okay with not understanding sometimes what is happening in us, through us, this, even the seasons we go through. But I do think there's principles that we can learn out of this season. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Joshua 5. And I want to share, just going to read a few verses, give you some context of the why this is important. And then we're going to just look at two principles that we see in Scripture that we can follow in preparing ourselves if you are in seasons of change and in seasons of movement. Okay. I just want to say something and apologize. I actually made slides for this morning. Like, I put up everything. The only problem is it is at home. So you need to get your Bibles out, and we're gonna read out of Joshua 5. Now, we pick it up here where they have already crossed the Jordan. They are in the plains of Jericho, and they're camping there. Are you guys there? All right. Verse 1. It says, Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts melted and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Verse 2. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. Now, before any men go into emotional trauma, let's go over to verse 8. It says, And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal, at the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate the produce of Canaan. Okay. Just some context. And I want to make it applicable to each one of our lives. The Israelites was in bondage, in slavery in Egypt for 430 years. Okay, 430 years. For 430 years, they prayed that the Lord will deliver them from Egypt. Okay, 430 years. And after 430 years, the Lord delivers them out of their enemies' hands, out of slavery, out of Egypt, and he takes them into the wilderness. But who of you understand, in the wilderness, they were delivered, but they were not yet free. Many Christians get delivered, right? Gets delivered from sin and from the enemy and from darkness, gets into the wilderness, but they delivered, but they're not yet free, because our freedom doesn't lie in the wilderness. Our freedom lies in the promised land, in Canaan. Does that make sense to you guys? So many Christians get delivered from the enemy, and then they get into the wilderness, and they stay there for 40 years. And some Christians die in the wilderness, delivered, but not yet free. Do you know how long the journey is from where they crossed the Red Sea to the point where they crossed the Jordan? It's 11 days. 11 days. Let's quickly go to Deuteronomy verse in the first chapter. I just want to show you this. Are you guys there? This struck me. This book was written down just before the Israelites went over to the promised land. And Moses had to recount to this whole generation that was in the wilderness, that didn't know Egypt, they didn't know slavery, they only know the wilderness, and they don't know the promised land either. But he had to recount to them the history of Israel to stir the faith of the God that's going to take them into their promise, okay? So he starts in verse 1. It says, these are the words of Moses spoke to all Israel in the desert east of the Jordan. That is in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tolan. And there's lots of names where they went and when they went. And then it says in verse 2, it takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh. And then in verse 3, in the 40th year. So he says, this is 11-day journey. And then the next verse starts with, in the 40th year. 11 days in the 40th year. 11 days in the 40th year. So many Christians, they get delivered, right? And then they come into the wilderness. And for 40 years, wander around the desert. Around the same mountain. Same life cycle of offense. Same life cycle of bitterness, greed, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, lust, fear. Same old, the same mountain, and end up dying in the wilderness, delivered but not free. Who of you know that Jesus Christ came to set you free? Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. He didn't only come to deliver you, but he came to set you free. Okay? He came to set you free. This transition is so, so important. Why is this important? Because it's one thing to get out of Egypt. It's another thing to get Egypt out of you. Okay? You're getting this. Like, if you can only remember that, this would be a good sign that we can end up right here. Okay, it's one thing to get out of Egypt, but it's another thing to get Egypt out of you. And God needed to get Egypt out of his people before they can take the land. If you were in bondage and slavery like all of us were, right, in sin, the issue with that is it touches our identity. If I'm a slave for 430 years, this is my heritage. It's not only what I do, but it is... Over time, it is who I am. I become a slave. And still to this day, the enemy catches us on this. If you fail, the enemy will not tell you, oh, you failed. He will tell you, you are a failure. His attack is also always on our identity. Okay, does that make sense to you guys? So they had this slavery mentality. And the Lord had to get that out of them because a slavery mindset doesn't work in the promised land. You can't go in with a slavery mindset that will not help you in the promised land. The Lord needed to transition the people out of a mentality of slavery into a mentality of being free and knowing they are free in Christ and thinking differently. Remember last week we said a new season calls for a new song. It calls for a new way of thinking. We cannot take in what is new. We can't take the promises if we stay where we are and keep on thinking like we think. Does that make sense? Okay. Jesus says in John 15, verse 15, no longer do I call you slaves. I no longer call you slaves. Because a master doesn't confide in his slaves, but he calls us now friends. Does that make sense? Friends. Now, I had a stage in my life when I struggled with anxiety and depression. It was almost for 4 years that this went on. Now, I remember there was a time when I got delivered from that, but I was not yet free of that. What I mean by that is I got delivered, but who of you know, as soon as you hit opposition, what do we want to do? We fall back into old ways. It was so easy for me in that time of deliverance before I had my freedom to just fall back into old patterns of thinking, old patterns of doing. It's just because it becomes natural to me. And the funny thing about this is we feel safe in what we know. We feel safe in what we know. The Israelites, the first thing they said when they struck hardship in the wilderness or opposition in the wilderness, what did they want to do? Go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to the place where they were praying for 430 years to be delivered of. How long have you been praying for your deliverance? I mean, it's not even 430 years, okay? And they want to go back to that. And it's not this, and you, we are all exactly the same. It's not that we want to go, it's not that we want to go back to slavery, but we want to go back to what we know, because there's a false sense of security in what we know. Okay? And that's why we took out the chairs this morning. And it's funny to look at the reactions. It's like, this is different. And whenever it's different, I don't know what to do. Know what to do. Get some tea. What's happening here? The Lord does not only want to deliver us from Egypt, but He wants to get Egypt out of us. He wants us to be free. Truly free. And this realignment is so important. So the Lord says to the Israelites, listen, I've got an 11-day journey. And in this 11-day journey, I'm going to get Egypt out of you. And then I want you to possess the promises that I have for you. Amen. And what did they choose? They chose the desert. God didn't choose it for them. God had great plans for them. And that is where each of our choices comes into play whenever it is possessing something new and possessing a new call, a promise that the Lord has for you. Each one of us must ultimately choose what we want to have when the Lord is calling. God is so good that He will give you what you choose, right? And it's funny with them, if you read the whole story, they came to them and God said, I want to give you the land. And they said, no, we just see the giants. We just see the reasons why we can't have it. And then God says, okay, you will spend 40 years in the desert. And then all of a sudden they said, no, we'd rather go in the promised land. We'd rather go there. But it was too late in that stage. The Lord had to do something in the wilderness. Now, what happened in the wilderness? Why were the people in the wilderness for 40 years? They had to learn obedience in the wilderness. Now, who of you know that our Savior Jesus Christ also had a wilderness experience? Okay? And He conquered it, right? Amen? 40 days representing the 40 years that the Israelites were in the wilderness. And what does it say when He came out? He was full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to submit to you that the Lord calls us into desert seasons not to go into self-pity, but to walk out the other side full of the Holy Spirit. Between slavery and freedom is a wilderness. So I want to almost encourage you guys that if you experience, who have you experienced sometimes wilderness, like it just feels flat, dry, you know, rejoice. Why is the Lord taking you in a wilderness time? Because He wants to get Egypt out of you. He wants to bring something out of you. He actually wants to take you into a new promise. If we can understand the journey in the wilderness, if we can understand that this is how the Lord works, listen, He wants your freedom more than you want your freedom. He will work it out in you. So He calls us sometimes into the desert to set us free so we can come out the other side full of the Holy Spirit. The wilderness is a beautiful place when we are led to surrender. Who of you know if we want to be, if we want to have transformation? Romans 12, verse 1 says the most important thing. Something precedes our transformation. It is bringing our bodies as a living sacrifice to the altar, and that happens in the wilderness. We come to a place of surrender, saying, "Lord, here I am. Work this in me." And when that happens, the Lord says, "Yes, you're ready for transformation. I will work this in you." Just because you asked, right? So wilderness experiences, they're not necessarily bad. Know when you are in one or you go in one, whenever it might be, and the Lord is working something in you, be humble, be teachable. Jesus went through the same. He came out on the other side full of the Holy Spirit. And who of you know you follow Jesus? We follow Jesus. Not self-pity, we follow Jesus. Jesus came out on the other side, full of the Holy Spirit. You can come out on the other side, full of the Holy Spirit. You just keep on following Him. Amen? So the Lord had to take the Israelites, they delivered Him, and there was a whole generation of the Israelites that was cynical, negative, unbelieving. They murmured, they were doubt, they had so much doubt in them. And the Lord had to, that whole generation, it was a group of people that had to die in the wilderness before they can take in their promises. I don't know about you, but sometimes negativity needs to die in me, right? And the Lord took, he wasn't done with them because he took this whole new generation that he raised up, positioned them to take in the promises. And still, again, they had a choice if they wanted to take it in. And you know, the place where we many times fail in our journey with Jesus is it's not, whenever there's movement, we ask three questions. We ask, where are you taking me, Lord? What promises are you taking me in, Lord? And that we know out of Scripture, right? When is it happening? Well, it is happening. Okay, how? It is in the how that most people fall or fail. Because whoever you have come to know, Jesus doesn't always work the way you want him to work. And we fail in our own expectation management. And sometimes if we measure it up against what the Lord does, it feels different. It doesn't feel right to us because it's not what we wanted it to be. Okay? Always remember, the Lord told Joshua, don't focus on the vision, focus on the law, focus on my character. Now, whenever the Lord is generating movement within his people, the instruction, as it was in the Israelites, it wasn't military strategy. It was later on they did give it some advice in how they're going to conquer the enemy, but the instruction was spiritual. And if we miss this, we will miss what the Lord has for us. Okay? It was not only the vision, what you're going to have and how you should get it. It was, I want to look at your heart. What's going on here? This is more important to me. You will take in your promise. You will have that. But the how you will do it is important to God. Okay? The how. And that how is what we're doing here. So, just to give you some context, they came in delivered, not yet free. Now they went through the Jordan and they are in the plains of Jericho. And maybe we must talk about the two waters. You know what the two waters represent? The Dead Sea represents your baptism. The Jordan River, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those two waters are extremely important for us to actually take in the promises of the Lord. Amen? Your baptism and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now we pick it up here in the Israelites. So they are there, they are in the promised land, but the promised land is not yet theirs. And the Lord says in Joshua 5 verse 2, he says to Joshua, you make flint knives and you circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. You don't want to go through this twice in your life. I want us to understand what is happening here. Circumcision means a cutting away. Now, that is needed in this instance. Now, the ritual of circumcision was the sign of covenant for the people with God, right? But it is a cutting away. And why is this important? There was a whole generation that came out of Egypt, right? That had a cutting away out of Egypt. They had to pay a price to get out of Egypt. But this new generation needs their own cutting away. They need to pay their own price to possess what God has to give them. They couldn't take in the promised land, right, on the shoulders of the price that the previous generation paid in Egypt. Does this make sense to you guys? They had to pay their own price. Each one of us each of us needs our own cutting away. Each of us needs to pay our own price if we want to possess the land. Does this make sense to you guys? Okay? It's like for this morning. Who of you know there was a price that was paid for us to be here this morning? This morning at 5, some awesome men and women got up. They came here. They packed out. They set up. Do you know there's a price to be paid for your kids right now to be taught in the ways of God? We won't have these things if somebody doesn't pay a price to have them. Does this make sense? It doesn't just come to us. Somebody pays a price for us to be here, right? The band, to have sound, to have all these things. We pay a price to be here. We pay a price to do this. We pay a price. People prayed for you this morning. Do you know that? Over the chair that you are sitting on, people prayed for that chair. A price was paid for that, right? You're sitting on a blessed chair. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? That's why it's so nice. Somebody paid a price, and each one of us is called to pay a price. Each one of us is called to have a cutting away if we want to possess the promise that the Lord is wanting of us. Now, praise Jesus, we live in a new covenant. We don't physically need to do this. But in Romans 2, Jesus, the scriptures speak about circumcision, and he says, listen, now it's not if you do the physical ritual. It is about your heart. It's a circumcision of your heart that is needed for you to possess all that the Lord has for you. Okay? So the circumcision for us, it means this, a circumcision of our hearts. Now, if you know, in Hebrews 12 verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that so easily clings to us. And holds us back to running the race with endurance. So you've got a race before you. We've got a race before us. And there's two things that holds us back to run with endurance. The one is weights that he speaks about, and the other one is sin that he speaks about. Now we all, it's interesting to me that he mentions weights before sins. So that means there's certain stuff that's not necessarily sin that can be a weight that holds you back and keeps you from running the race in endurance. Does this make sense to you guys? Are you guys alive? I just want to make sure. Is this making sense to you? Just like at least three, okay, three heads, I'm with you. Okay. What is weight? I'm not going to speak about sin. You all know what is sin. What is weights? Weights can be anything worldly that it has a hold on your heart and has attraction on your heart that it shouldn't be. Something like wrong friends can be a weight. If you hang out with the wrong people, who have you know, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time, right? Now, I'm not saying we should all have unsaved friends, okay? But you don't take your counsel from them, okay? You must decide who you spend your time with. And is those people that you spend your time with and you give your get your input from, are they the people that helps you in your race? They shout you on, endure, endure. What can be a weight? Too much TV. Too much TV can be a weight. What is that thing that when you had a bad day, you want that? What is that thing? Coffee. Course. Food. What is that thing I run to when I had a bad day? That thing that brings me comfort. And if, now I'm not saying it's necessarily bad to eat a slab of chocolate. I'm all for that, okay? I'm all for that. But eating two slabs of chocolate and running to that to numb what is in the inside of me, that becomes a weight. That becomes a weight, and that thing will hold you back in your race. It will hold you back. And Paul is writing and he says, listen, get rid of these weights. Get rid of these weights. Get rid of these sins so that you can run this race of endurance. Don't only be delivered, get free. Amen? That's just so much better, right? I think, no, let's not go there. Okay, so too much TV, binge watching series, reality TV. I just said that, y'all. Reality TV, like, yeah. Any person that has a life, okay, does not watch reality TV. People that watch reality TV is people that does not have a life. Okay, don't tell anybody I said that, but that's just the way it is. Okay, that is just Very sad. That is a massive weight. Get rid of that. Huh? Jesus, hoekom lag jy so? Huh? So there's a... We, each one of us, must decide what is the weight, what is the sin in your life, what is it in your heart that needs a cutting away for you to endure, for you to run this race, right? Because endurance is needed. Because listen, if you get delivered, you come into the wilderness. It's not always easy. Okay, if you don't have endurance in your heart, you will just walk back to Egypt, to what is known to you. And then you come into the promised land, and what's the first thing you walk into? A 10-meter wall. It's like, but Jesus, I didn't sign up for this. You said freedom, it must be lekker and easy. It's not always easy. We pay a price. Jesus paid the ultimate price. And who of you know that he said, count the cost if you follow me. You pick up your cross and you follow me. There's a cost involved for us if we want to take the promises of God. Okay? How we manage our time, what we give ourselves to, what we fill ourselves with at the end of the day. Okay, so there's a cutting away, and each one of us must ask the Lord, Lord, what is that cutting away for me? Because it looks different for everybody. It looks different for everybody. In verse 8, they go on and say, when the circumcision was done, they remained in that place and they camped there until everybody was healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, he says to him, today I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place they called Gilgal. In that cutting away, the Lord says he's removed the reproach of Egypt. He's removed that weight of sin, that thing that kept them in the desert, that thing that caused them to stay in the desert and be in slavery. He's rolled that away from him. Okay, so the Lord is into delivering us, and is into healing us, and is into setting us free. The next verse, verse 10, is profound. And while the people of Israel were encamped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover. It's amazing to me that they go into the promised land and they still have time, first of all, to circumcise everybody so that everybody can get healed. They go through the cutting away, and then they still have the time to have the Passover. What does the Passover mean for them? It was the time when they, in Egypt, when they put the blood on the doorpost, right? And the angel of death went past them. What does it mean for us? It means for us the blood of Jesus Christ, the broken body of Jesus Christ. What they did there was they remembered and they filled themselves with Jesus. So my big question to us is, what do you fill yourself with? Who of you know, if you get delivered from something, it leaves a vacuum. And that vacuum needs to be filled with something, right? And we choose what that something is. And the Lord is wanting to fill us to live out of the overflow, right? When we follow Jesus, it's a constant movement, and it's a constant growth from grace to grace, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen? The Lord... In leadership, we many times say the Lord isn't interested in managers, in spiritual managers. He's not interested in you just managing your spiritual life where it is. He's into leaders. He's into raising up leaders to taking new, to grow in what you have called to grow in, right? So they came out of deliverance, and in their deliverance, they went into freedom. And the Lord says these two things are important for him. These two things, the one is the circumcision, the cutting away, and the other one is to be filled with himself. It's so easy. I would have thought, if you take me into my promises, I'm like, Lord, just give me the, just tell me what to do. Who must I kill? Where must I do what? Just tell me what to do. I like that. And the Lord's instruction is spiritual before it is practical and physical. God works the same way. You know how transformation happens? Where it happens? In me. You know how our town will change? It will change through you because you are changed. Transformed people will transform a city if we give ourselves to the transformation. It doesn't happen out there first. It happens in here first. This is where the transformation happens, on my environment, my internal world. And then I go out and I live who I am. I'm not trying to be somebody I'm not. I like what John Andrews says. He says, God cannot change the person you are pretending to be. That's a good word for some of us. God cannot change the person you are pretending to be. Just be you. We are okay with that. Okay? And let's come to Jesus and let him change us. All right? Verse 12. They kept the Passover. And this is an important this is an important piece. And the band, you guys can go up. So long. Bossy band. If you are Joshua 5, it says, and the day after the Passover, on the very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cake and parched grain, and the manna ceased the day after they ate the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Now listen, these guys, all they know is each morning they get up and there's supernatural provision to them. Each day they get up, they see in the evenings, they see a pillar of fire in the day, a glory cloud, and this leads them. This is supernatural, right? It's supernatural. And all of a sudden, this is the moment when it changes. The manna stopped. The manna stopped for them. Now, when the manna stopped, they could have sit around and wait for the manna, and guess what? It wouldn't come. They will die if they just stood there or stayed there, waited for the manna. The transition was at that moment. God has stopped doing miracles to them and wanted to start doing miracles through them. Okay, there's a massive transition that they needed to take hold of. But this is the moment now. I'm thinking there's a moment for each one of us, right? There's a moment where you need to let go of unforgiveness. There's a moment where you need to just let go of negativity and fear. There's a moment for each of us that we need to turn. There's a moment. There's a moment. And I just sense there's a moment for a lot of us just to turn today. A moment where we need to come to the Lord and just say, Jesus, today is my moment. The manna stopped. This time in the wilderness is over now. I'm stretching myself forward for what the Lord has for me. I'm walking away from this. And only you will know what it is. Now I'm thinking to myself, Joshua must have had massive deja vu. Because I would have been thinking, okay, Lord, this is the second time I've been here. Last time, this didn't go well. Okay? And how many times in our lives do we put ourselves out to follow Christ and to trust and to hope? And then expectation management, it's not the way I wanted it to be, or I get disillusioned. I'm saying, no, I'm not going to do it again. I'd rather stay in the wilderness. I'd rather be delivered but not free than be free. Does that make sense to you guys? And I think the biggest problem in this, is we say, Lord, I didn't expect it to be this way. It's the biggest problem, is you. It's like, don't paint the picture of the end. Jesus writes your story. Jesus paints the picture of your life. Let him do it. He's very good at it. Okay? Let him do it. Allow him to paint the picture, to write the book. Allow him to do that. And you don't focus on the vision. You focus on him. You cut away what needs to be cut away. And you fill here with what needs to be filled with Jesus, with him. It is a spiritual thing for us to possess it. Right? So, can we end off with a song? And I want to make an invitation this morning. In Philippians 3 verse 13, Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget what is in my past and I stretch myself forward to what is before me. Many people in repentance, they are so aware of what they are turning away from. But who of you know, in repentance you're not only turning away from something, but you are turning to something. So aware of the slavery that I came from and not aware of the promise that where God is calling me to. Does this make sense to you guys? So somewhere there's a moment, there must be a moment for each one of us where we say, Lord, I'm walking away now from this unforgiveness or this bitterness or this negativity or this fear or whatever it is that the enemy throws against you to possess what the Lord has for you. God, I bring you my heart. I offer my heart to you, God. You can show me what needs to be cut away, what needs to be circumcised in my heart, cut away so that you can come and fill me with who you are. Fill me with who you are. So can we stand together? So as we end off this morning, I wanna invite you, if you need a moment this morning, why won't you just respond and just come and stand in the front? If you just know you need a moment where you need to turn away from stuff and only know the Holy Spirit will show you right now if there is something, if you have a moment where you need to turn away. You need to turn away from what isn't behind you and start stretching yourself out to what is before you, what the Lord is calling you into. Like if you're somebody that you know you've been delivered, but you're not free yet, man, I'm talking to you. And it's a response in your heart towards Jesus. Say, Lord, and listen, I want to say to you, it's not like I've arrived, okay? You can ask Frankie. Not at all. But one thing I'm just starting to realize is I don't only want to be delivered and walk in the desert around the same life cycle of unforgiveness and bitterness and just depression. And I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free in Christ because Christ came to set me free and to make me free indeed. And not only free in my heart, but free in my mind, a renewed mind. That is what the Lord has for us, a renewed mind. To hear His voice, to enjoy His presence. To know He's not mad at me, but He actually likes me and He loves me and He wants the best for me. Just as we want that for our children. He's just that and so much more. He's just that and so much more. And I love the song that we sang this morning. Lord, stir up a passion inside of our hearts. A passion to be free and to see the people of God get free. So Lord, we just want to thank you today, God, that you are into our freedom, Lord. Father, that you call us out of Egypt and out of death, Lord, out of darkness, Lord, not only to deliver us, but to set us free in the promised land and to take us into the promises that you have for us, God. A place of freedom, a place of liberty, a place of newness, God, a place where you bless the work of our hands, God. Where you bless the work of our hands, Lord, and we eat the produce of the land. So we want to thank you for that, Lord. Father, we want to bring our hearts before you and ask, Lord, that you will circumcise our hearts, God. We want to ask that you will purify our hearts. We want to realign our hearts with your heart, Lord. Father, we pray that you will show us if there's any weights in us, God. There's a moment of turning. There's a moment where we need to decide if we are willing to pay the price to have the freedom that God is calling us to as a generation, as a people. And Lord, as a house, God, as one of the shepherds of this house, Lord, we want to say, Lord, we bring the heart of the house before you and ask, circumcise this heart, Lord. Work it in us, God. Lord, I pray you are more than welcome to make us uncomfortable, Lord God. In our moving, Lord. Lord, if we are comfortable and find comfort in what is known and any earthly things, Father, we want to shift that and say we want to anchor it in you, Lord. We want to feel safe in you and with you, God. Even if we walk in areas that is unknown to us, God, thank you that we will not fear because you are with us. You are our safe place, Lord. In Jesus' name, you are the one that delivers us. You are the one that sets us free, God. In Jesus' name, Father. Lord, we want to bring our bodies as a living sacrifice to the altar. We want to bring it to the altar and say, here we are, Lord. We surrender it to you. We ask, Father, that your fire will fall on the sacrifice, God, in Jesus' name. And I want to say to you, I sense that some of us, like condemnation is knocking at your door, right? And the Lord is saying, Stop thinking of what you are turning away from. I want you to think and see what you are turning towards. What I have for you. See that. See that. We had a vision in intercession on Friday morning that the Lord showed Derek. That it was this almost this beautiful diamond that the Lord held up. And he said he just had the sense that whenever we bring a sacrifice of our lives, who of you know that Jesus looks differently at you as like you do at your own life? And he just had the sense that as we bring our bodies as a living sacrifice and our hearts before Jesus, he holds it up and it looks like this beautiful diamond to him. Because he looks at the end product. He knows what is going to happen. He knows what is before us. And that is why he speaks hope into our future, into our today and into our tomorrow. So Father, we want to thank you just that we can be with you, Lord. Father, and I want to pray for the eyes of each one of us so that we may see, Lord, that we may see, God, what lies ahead of us, God, that we would truly say, God, we've been to the land, Lord, and we've tasted and seen that you have good. And yes, there might be giants and there might be walls and there might be the impossible before us, God, but we want to say today, Lord, we do not look at the impossibilities, God, and come with a bad report, Lord, but we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, the one that was faithful to lead us to this point and will be faithful to lead us from this point, Lord, for each one of us, God. And we bring our hearts, Lord, and I just pray a refreshment and new. And just, Holy Spirit, I want to ask that you will come and refresh us in Jesus' name. Just right now, a refreshment, Lord. New life, God. Thank you that you prophesied, Lord, and said it to us, God, that this place and this house will be a house of life and of growth, Lord. And we just say yes, God, that as we enter this time of life and the promises of God, Lord, your promises, the promised land, Lord, we just say yes to it, Lord. We say thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.